Andrew Horn. Welcome to Andrew Horn's Rock Revival. This is going to be a bit of an experiment this episode, as not only am I recording the audio for the normal podcast, not only am I recording video for YouTube, but I am also broadcasting live on Twitch. This is awesome. So let's see how this episode goes. I don't know how it's going to go. This is a bit of an experiment. It could go either way, but we shall soon find out, won't we? What I've got to do is to remember to not have myself on the screen in the background at the same time. That would indeed be helpful. So let's talk about what the show is, first of all. This is the first episode in the 2022 run of my Rock Revival podcast, video show, and other stuff. I am Andrew Horn, as I said at the start, and as it is in the title. I used to work for Powerplay Rock and Metal magazine here in the UK, National Rock and Metal magazine. I used to get to interview rock stars like Doro, whose hoodie I'm wearing. Well, it's not hers, but it's got her on it, you know. And all kinds of people. For 9 years, I did that. I interviewed rock stars. I reviewed albums, reviewed shows and merchandise and other releases, that sort of thing. And it was awesome. And I gave that up in 2016. I missed it ever since. I love doing it. It was great fun. It was amazing meeting all these people that I'd respected for years and years and years. And getting to talk music with the people that created that stuff is just so incredibly satisfying. It's unreal. And I really miss it. It's not something I think I could go back to at the moment, just because there's a full-time day job, I have kids, there's a life going on, and it was very time-consuming, but I do miss talking about music greatly. Outside of the music journalism, I write comic books, movies, novels, non-fiction books, all kinds of things like that, and I have a day job and two kids, so yeah, there's quite a lot going on. You can find my books on Amazon. You can find the audio version of this podcast on Audible and iTunes and Amazon Podcasts and all kinds of places, Spotify and all over the place. So thank you very much for joining me. I'm also a former DJ and musician. And yeah, I miss talking about music. So that's what this show is all about. That's what this, the intention has always been for Andrew Horn's Rock Revival, to be about albums, both obscure and classic, and just bringing them. Not maybe, I probably don't bring any more listeners to these albums, but hey, I just like talking about music. It's good fun. I know a fair bit about it, and I really enjoy doing so. My primary interests are rock and metal, so like melodic rock, hard rock, up to heavy metal, up to the hardest things possible. You know, the really extreme death metal, black metal, industrial metal, power noise, all kinds of things are going on in my own musical story. So this show focuses on albums mainly from the 80s, 90s and 2000s, covering the rock and metal spectrum from end to end. Now on this episode, I'm going to try something a little different to start off the 2022 run, which I'm celebrating with this live stream and video as well, which will show up on my YouTube channel once I've had time to edit all the bits out where I go, believe me, I say a lot. When I'm doing the audio podcast, I go, and I must edit it out about 40, 50 times per podcast. So I'm going to see if I can try not to say that too much while I'm on video. Oh, damn, I just did it. Ah! But anyway, I also have a YouTube channel called Planet Hex. Do check that out if you would like to. I have a sweaty beer, which I have conveniently labelled for copyright reasons as the blood of my enemies. So, yes, I'm going to crack open a bottle of the blood of my enemies. I've always wanted to say that. Cheers. Here's to the first of a new series of Andrew Horn's Rock Revival. I hope you can be entertained, informed, and otherwise pass some time while the world is still trying to get to some semblance of normal. Drinking live on air. What a rebel. What a rebel. So I'm going to talk about two albums this time. Instead of the previous episodes up till now that I was doing with the Rock Revival have always just been about one album. I thought we'd mix it up a bit, hence all this stuff going on right now. And I thought we would talk about two albums this episode. Now, two very, very different albums from two very different artists. So let's move on to the first one. Without further ado, let's move on to the first album from tonight, which will be Astro Creep 2000, Songs of Love, Destruction, and Other Synthetic Delusions of the Electric Head by White Zombie. This is a phenomenal album. I know Rob Zombie's output since the White Zombie days has been a little hit and miss, and I say that as a fan. And, you know, I loved Hellbilly Deluxe and the things that came after that. It's been up and down. It's been an odd, it's been an unexpected journey for Rob. But this album, it sums up a period for me, and that period was 95 to 96. I was getting into going to rock clubs, so More Human Than Human and Supercharger Heaven were all over the place. Supercharger Heaven, the second track on this, was also in the Judge Dredd movie, which I liked at the time, the one with Sylvester Stallone. I am the law, you know, the one with Sylvester Stallone in it. Look, I loved it at the time, but I've never been one to have great taste. That's why I'm drinking the blood of my enemies in rage. And it sums up a period in my life where I was discovering rock clubs. I was heavily into the rock magazine scene, and I was at college learning how to make movies and TV shows and stuff like that. And that was so good, but I remember this album in particular as being one that me and the other goth metal rock weirdos would gather around a table. We would steal the class stereo and we would play Astro Creep 2000 by White Zombie. We would play stuff like Broken by Nine Inch Nails. And we would just rock out in a corner being moody gits and wearing lots of black. You know, some of us do move on from that period of our lives. And some of us end up doing this instead. But it was a very special album at the time because it had a different direction to a lot of things that were out there at the time, and that really made a lot of people notice. Granted, the first album by White Zombie had a lot of good stuff on it, Thunderkiss 65 and things like that. It was a very cool album, very cool album. But Astro Creep 2000, it made everything sound a lot more futuristic. The first album was Le Sexorcisto by White Zombie. It was more of a, how do I describe it? It was more of like a David Lynch sort of affair. It was quite scuzzy. It was quite grungy and dirty and quite mean. There was a very, like a strange dark road movie thing going on with that album. It was really good. It was a really powerful album. But the punchiness of Astro Creep 2000 was just something else. It was absolutely mind-blowing. When you would hear in the mid-90s, when you would hear the little digital intro to More Human Than Human coming on, you know, you just knew it was time to get on the dance floor in your increasingly enormous jeans and just lose it. Interesting thing about that song is it's one note on guitar. I think it's one note on guitar and some slide. And it's just pummeling. That just the repetition of that cyclic riff just gets me every time. So it's a very futuristic sounding album. There's lots of samples on it. There's movie samples, little bits of dialogue, little bits of electronica on here. And the enormous guitar riffs of Jay, the rumbling bass of Sean Ezzo, and the drums of John Tempesta. But of course, the main attraction here really is Rob Zombie. Actually, I don't know. I don't know if Rob was the main attraction. Really, I think the whole band were the main attraction on this. This was a really powerful, really strong album that had a lot going for it that was just beyond the character of Rob Zombie or the character of that Rob had built up around himself. So we got this wonderful package here. This is a CD version. I've had it on tape, I've had it on vinyl and all kinds of things. And it's just been, it's one of those things that's stuck with me throughout my life for many, many years. And I'm really grateful to it for what it's brought me. It's brought me a lot of pleasure. It gave me some solace at the time, as music does, as all the best music does offer you some solace at some point in your life. That's why we end up loving these things so much. So inside Astro Creep 2000, we have lots and lots of crazy artwork and You know, there's paintings, there's cartoons, there's lyrics, there's all kinds of, like, there's collage and stuff in there. And it does go very well hand in hand with the album itself. So the album does kick off with Electric Head Part 1, The Agony. And when that kicks in, oh yes, it's powerful. You know, they've got the really chunky riff from Jay there. You've got a really powerful vocal line from Rob Zombie. And that really staccato, steady, lumbering, rumbling backline from John Tempesta and Sean Ezzo. So that is followed by Supercharger Heaven, which just seriously, go and check it. If you haven't heard this album, if you haven't heard that song, go and check out that song on YouTube. It is just fantastic. And even now in 2022, it still holds up. It still holds the same amount of power and still really wants you to get up and jump around. The riff to it, there's me sounding like Beavis again. It's just, it just makes you want to get up and just rage and just mosh. And I love that. And it just, it's a cracker of a song, that one. Real Solution number 9 is next. Not as powerful as Electric Head Part 1 or Supercharger Heaven, but still powerful. And it's still, it sounds only like White Zombie. And that's really, really cool. It's just, there's a lot going on this album. So beyond that, there's Creature of the Wheel. There's Electric Head Part 2, which is just pounding. There's Grease Paint and Monkey Brains. There's Eye Zombie. Now, Eye Zombie is a really good one. It's got kind of a dreamy sort of hypnotic feel to it. And if you listen to the rhythms in tracks like Eye Zombie and what was the other one? Electric Head Part 2. There's, you can hear the influence that they had on a lot of bands that came after with the back end of the new metal scene and the creation of more of the industrial metal scene. You do hear a lot of an influence from White Zombie in a lot of those things. Of course, Eye Zombie is followed by More Human Than Human. And I bet the band is sick of it. I bet each member of the band is sick of it. I bet Rob Zombie is sick of playing it. But I love that track, even now. And it was a favourite when I would visit the Roxy's Rock Club back in Sheffield in my hometown. The image of the Astro Creep, what zombie type dude on the artwork there. I had a t-shirt of that, which I was absolutely obsessed with wearing. I wore that thing till it fell apart. And it just sums up that era. You know, when some things do sum up a particular era. I've spoken about this before on the Rock Revival, that some albums do really conjure up a specific era. And that one, this one genuinely does. That is followed by El Fantasmo and the Chicken Run Blasterama, which, sad to say, the title is better than the song, but I still love it dearly. There's Blur the Technicolor, Blood, Milk and Sky, and it is a powerful piece. It does hold together really, really well. It's a great album to just lose yourself in. It's a fantastic soundtrack to do in anything. If you're writing, if you're trying to do create some artwork, if you're painting, you're drawing, if you're doing digital art, anything like that, and you need something dark and you need something relentless without being entirely serious, this is a great album. I do recommend you check this out very, very clearly. White Zombie, Astro Creep 2000, a marvelous album. Okay, on to the second album of this episode. I'm going to talk about something very, very different. I'm going to go back from 1995. I'm going to go all the way back to 1986 for an album called Visual Lies by Lizzie Borden. Now, you may not be familiar with the work of Lizzie Borden unless you are a sad old 80s nut like myself, but Lizzie is still going and still going in style and doing a great job with new releases and new music, and Lizzie's voice is still in amazing shape. So this was from a very theatrical period of metal. We all know the one. It's referred to jokingly as the hair bands, the hair metal scene, glam metal and things like that, but there was a lot going on here that I feel reducing it to the just a description like that just kind of denigrates and takes away from it. So the cover here, as you see, is different to the one that's pictured in the corner of the screen. So the main colour of it, I'm going to have to edit that bit out, but you get it on the video and you get it on the live stream, so well done. The colour of his eyes is black on the CD version, but on the vinyl version, which is the one I also have, it's silver. It's not been doctored, but it's like, how are you going to make that look less ridiculous by having black eyes on it? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But this was a really important album to me growing up and was instrumental in the development of my rock and metal tastes and my rock and metal knowledge. So this was purchased by a very young me from Powerhouse, the rock and metal record shop in Sheffield. It was on the back of the Howard pub for many years. A wonderfully dingy little Aladdin's cave of old AOR and death metal and demos and t-shirts and posters and magazines and all kinds of cool stuff. I just loved it. I never found out what the guy's name was. The guy that ran it was a full-on classic rock dude, massive hair, tight jeans, big shades, and I loved him to bits. He was an idol to me because, you know, he got to hang out at Powerhouse all day. And to be fair, I would have loved to hang out at Powerhouse all day. Although I did hang out there quite a lot. And this is one of the albums that was on his reduced section, which I frequented a lot just because, you know, I was a teenager without a great deal of money and I wanted 80s stuff. That's what I liked at the time. During the middle of the 90s, I wanted the 80s largely. As well as stuff like White Zombie and Nine Inch Nails, I was always going to be an 80s kid at heart. So this album, Visual Lies, it looks ridiculous, doesn't it? It's not the best look for a cover. I acknowledge that, even though I love this album dearly. So it has Lizzie Borden on all vocals. It has Joey Scott on drums. It has Michael Davis on bass. It has Gene Allen on guitars. And it has Joe Holmes on lead guitar. Joe Holmes would go on to be Ozzy Osbourne's guitarist for a while, including when I saw Ozzy live at Donington 96. Maybe I'll do an episode on Donington 96 at some point. That was quite a memorable day. And Ozzy and Kiss co-headlining. And I went there for my 18th birthday. It was around my 18th birthday anyway. And that was just epic in every way that day. But anyway, this album, Visual Lies by Lizzie Borden. I think it's slightly out of order in the CD case that I'm looking from here. So this came out in 1986, as far as I remember, and it started with a fantastic song called Me Against the World. A wonderful song, a perfect song to hear when you're a teenager discovering your place in things, because it's like, it's literally, it's me against the world, me against the world. Let's have a look. Yeah. The lyrics don't make a great deal of sense. Reading them back now. Oh, it's been a while since I listened to this. I must revisit this album. Me Against the World's a big anthem of a song. But if you listen to it, if you listen to the main guitar riff of Me Against the World, you can also play along to it with the A-Team theme. Give it a try. You'll see what I mean. It's the same rhythm as the A-Team theme, and I just the two intertwine in my head whenever I hear it. That's followed by Shock. Shock Treatment goes the chorus, which is great, although not as powerful as Me Against the World. That is followed by Outcast, by far my favourite song on this album. It's just a glorious thing. There's something about Outcast which just captures the imagination. It's got a huge chorus. It's got a big dramatic build-up. In terms of sound, I would say the album is along the lines of mid-period Aussie, like 80s period Aussie, like Ultimate Sin sort of era, Ozzy Osbourne. But a bit more dramatic. Lizzie's voice is higher and higher and clearer, which gives it also maybe an edge of, say, like Queensryche or Crimson Glory, early Crimson Glory, that sort of thing, but with the theatrics of Alice Cooper rather than the silver mask theatrics of Crimson Glory. It has a really clear, powerful production, a great mix on it, and it's just a phenomenal album. There are a lot of highlights on this album. Let's have a look through. So as well as Me Against the World and Outcast, the title track, Visual Lies, has this wonderful dreamy sort of ballad quality to it that builds up into a great big dramatic chorus. A bit of a prog metal number, that one. There's Den of Thieves, which is nice and speedy. Den of Thieves feels a bit like... It reminds me of sort of Hellbound era Warlock of all things. There's Visions, Lord of the Flies, Voyeur, I'm watching you. That's got a big hook, big pop hook. Look, there's Lizzie in all of his 80s finery. Gotta love that. The big hair, the silver glittery outfits. It's glorious. The other classic on that, I would say, personally, is Eyes of a Stranger, which is not a cover of the Queensryche song of the same name, but is an original tune. And there's something about that song that has a nice pounding mid-paced anthemic riff to it, really high-pitched chorus, very melodic. The thing is, with this, when this album came out, 86 time, metal was already moving away from all things melodic into something harder. So you got Metallica coming up, Anthrax were getting bigger, thrash metal was in its still in its infancy, really, from what came after with the Bay Area stuff. But it was picking up momentum, and attention was moving more towards heavier things. Granted, the more mainstream rock stuff was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but in terms of straight down the line metal, it was getting harder. So the hardcore influences was coming in, the punk influence was coming in, the thrash influence was getting bigger, death metal was getting bigger and bigger, and normal metal, regular metal, was just kind of got pushed by the wayside a bit. Not entirely, because it was still very popular, but it just, there was so much going on at that time, there was such a melting pot of things going on at that time, that it was just crazy. It was hard to follow, there was so much going on. However, not quite as much as what's going on now. I do think that music is almost impossible to follow now because there are so many genres, so many releases, so many bands, so many things to hear on Spotify that then artists don't really get paid much for. But I think it's hard now to find things that you really love. Granted, I found Visual Lies by Lizzie Borden by accident when I was in the reduced section of Powerhouse, but still, I do kind of miss flicking through vinyl and tapes and CDs in record stores, and I must do that again soon. There's some indie places here in Nottingham that I want to revisit soon. So that is two albums that mean the world to me for this first episode of 2022 of Andrew Haunt's Rock Revival. So that's White Zombie, Astro Creep 2000, Visual Lies by Lizzie Borden. Do check them out if you haven't already. If you're not familiar with them, give them a go. Surely you're familiar with White Zombie and Rob Zombie and what he went on to do after that. Granted, he went on to be a movie maker, making things like House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, all that kind of thing, and the Halloween remakes. But give the early stuff a chance. La Sexorcisto, Devil Music Volume 1 is a cracking album, but Astro Creep 2000 kicks its butt. Personally speaking, it's far far more my thing. And Visual Lies by Lizzie Borden, it's just a powerful, melodic, mid-80s metal album that has a crystal clear production, a great mix, a wonderful sense of theatrics, an extremely good sense of melody, and some fantastic guitar playing on it. Do check them out. And thank you for joining me on this experimental episode of Andrew Haunt's Rock Revival. So yes, I'm doing the audio version simultaneously with a streaming version and recording it, so it will go onto my YouTube channel as well at some point. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for joining me on all this stuff that I put out. I really genuinely appreciate it. It's a lot of fun to do. It takes my mind off of all of this going on in the world, and it is just a great release for me. So thank you very much for joining me on this. Please do like and subscribe for more stuff coming from me here on the Rock Revival. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll be aware that my show Planet Hex is ongoing. If you're watching on Twitch, hello, this is nice to have you here. It's nice to have some company. Here's to you. If you're listening to the podcast, I'm sorry for all the bits where I said, look at this, because I'm not quite used to doing this three ways at once thing yet. But this has been fun. I look forward to doing it again with you soon. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow me on YouTube and Twitch and things like that. And just get in touch. Tell me you're alive. What's your favorite album? I don't know. Tell me something you'd want me to cover or check out that I may have missed in the 80s or 90s or that needs reassessing. Because there's loads of stuff like that. But until then, until the next episode of Andrew Haunt's Rock Revival, I am Andrew Haunt. That's why the name's in the title. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much for joining me for this weird little episode. I'll catch you again soon. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.